Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs, and I'm waiting here on Education Talk Radio for Dr. Maria Armstrong, who's the Executive Director of the Association of Latino Administrators and Superintendents, also known as ALAS, the initialization of it. And unfortunately, oh, there she is. Great, she's here. Thank you. I thought maybe we were going to lose her. At any rate, we're going to have a great show with the Executive Director of the Association of Latino Administrators and Superintendents. She just called in a little bit late, so we're going to move on from there. Hey, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on November 2nd. Hope everybody had a good and scary Halloween. World's scary enough without Halloween, but we'll make do. I hope you got some good candy at least, and got to do a little bit of trick-or-treating during the pandemic, as nuts as it is. And tomorrow's election day, I don't have to be the one to tell you, please go out there and vote. We're going to archive this show over at our equity website, which is ace-ed.org. We are part of the American Consortium for Equity in Education, ACEED, ace-ed.org, the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's free for educators to join, and you go over to ace-ed.org. You'll see our magazine, all of our podcasts, et cetera, et cetera. We're doing what we can to get teacher voice and industry voice together and make things happen in terms of equity and access. You'll love our magazine if you haven't seen it. It's an online journal called Equity and Access. You'll see the giant icon for it with the cover right on site again. Please join with us at ace-ed.org. And I can't tell you how happy I am that Maria is here today. There she is. Hi, Maria. It's Larry.
Hi, Larry. How you doing?
Well, I'm just fine. How's life in California this morning? I'm here across the country from you in Maine.
Actually, I'm in D.C. I'm originally from California, but I moved to D.C. probably, let me see, I think it was at the very end of June.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And anything going on in Washington, D.C. today, considering tomorrow's the election? Is there anything happening, right?
Well, that's so funny. There's a lot of windows being covered. Construction is definitely going on. And aside from that, you know, I was just out on a walk yesterday and or day before yesterday and saw that, you know, the stage for the inauguration is being constructed.
Already?
So, you know, it's pretty busy out here. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, it's interesting. I was talking to friends in Philadelphia. I live in Maine, but I was talking to friends in Philadelphia, and they said the city. Well, of course, there's also another problem out there, as you know. There was a racial incident out there with the police a few days ago, but there have been a lot of boarding up of building of you know, windows. People are worried that the election's going to be a bit chaotic, and I hope that does not happen. We're all Americans, and we vote quietly and peacefully. So let's make that happen. Right,
I'm
Maria?
I'm with you.
Yeah, I know
Maria.
You are.
I'm right with you.
Right, but wow, this is incredible. You know, I was reading we'll talk about ALAS in a second, but I was really astounded by this. You're Dr. Armstrong, okay? You have your doctorate. You're the executive director of the Association of Latino Administrators and Superintendents. You worked your way up from being a high school teacher to a counselor, a migrant perks person, program liaison. Listen to this, assistant principal, assistant superintendent, and then superintendent of Woodland Joint Unified School District near Sacramento. Congratulations on climbing that ladder. But the thing that impressed me most was you earned your GED. You didn't graduate from high school right when you should have, or maybe you did. But I was just so impressed with that.
Yeah, you know, you talk about a different path, right? We often think about those that go into the educational, you know, career. In a traditional sense, you know, they go off to college and they say, you know, they want to become a teacher and they work really hard and they move into the profession. That just wasn't my path. I was a high school dropout. I actually, you know, at 16, you think you know it all, right?
Don't 16-year-olds think
they know it all?
Yeah, they sure do. That's funny.
So I was one of those kids who really was probably just a little bit too much of a smarty pants for my own good. And when I got bored in school, I really did start to look for other things to do. By the time I was 16, I ran off with my high school boyfriend, ran across the state line, mind you, where we could get married. So I got married. And then I wound up having, you know, my life trajectory was I had all three of my kids by the time I was 19. So I still continued to go to school, but then it got to a point where the year that I was a senior, it was just I had one at home and found out I was pregnant with my second child. So at that point, that's when I said, you know, that one's going to be a little tough. So I wound up dropping out of school and still found myself, you know, by the age of 21, by that time I was divorced with my three kids found that I knew I needed to go back to school. So I started going to night school. And it was at that point that I kind of always had, you know, one foot still in education. Because I was always, you know, like I said, I may have done some stupid things, but I wasn't a stupid child. So I took a different path. I took a different path and actually went into the private sector, biotech field, and worked my way up there through about 11 years before actually going into education. So by all, you know, standards, if you will, I guess I was a late bloomer when getting into education.
Are you real or are you a character in a novel? You're incredible. This is unbelievable. Wow.
Yeah, you can make this stuff up.
Wow. What a life story. That is incredible. Now, I don't know how old you are, Maria. We've never met, but you had your kids when you were 19. Are you a grandmom now?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And if I'd have known it had been this much fun, I'd have done that first.
And the question I would ask when you were 19, so are you like the 39-year-old great-grandmom? What's going on there? Are you a great-grandmom? Right?
No, just a grandma. Just a grandma of five amazing grandchildren from the ages of, let's see, Alexander's going to be 23 this year.
There you go.
And
you could be a
great
grandma.
There you go. All the way down to the youngest, almost two, and that's Mateo. And then I've got the other Emilio, Senia, and Marino in between. But they're, you know, I've got the spectrum, so it's pretty awesome.
You do have. Wow, you really do. And, you know, you continue. I have to say this. You continued career after you retired from the California system, and you worked for the Puerto Rico Department of Education. And now, boom, look where you are. You're executive director of ALAS. And I'll tell you, it's been too long since I have worked with ALAS, and I'd like to set this up doing regular podcasts with you. Would that be okay? I love this.
Absolutely.
And I want more to do with ALAS and all that because – we are very concerned here. My company is really the American Consortium for Equity in Education. And the podcasts are under that umbrella. You might have heard me at the beginning. So is our magazine, which is called Equity in Access. I want to invite you personally to join our consortium, which is over at ace-ed.org. I'll send you an email. Okay. Well, your voice is so important. And the voice of Latinos in education is so incredibly important these days because it's not even, I don't even, you can still use the term, the Latino and Latinx minority is rapidly becoming a majority, okay? And, you know, we have about this without question, okay? And that's kind of an interesting thing to go from minority to majority. It's pretty darn cool, I got to tell you. But things are changing. There's still an equity challenge with Latino kids, okay? And not all of them have your drive, okay? And this is the same for any group, okay? We got to make sure that they're well taken care of, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. And, you know, Maria, let me ask you this. I want to start off, and I know the answer to this, but I want you to articulate it. The Association for of Latino Administrators and Superintendents, ALAS, you're the executive director. It's ALAS, is it ALASEDU.org? Is that the website?
That's correct.
Yeah, ALASEDU.org. This is a great organization, everybody. But I'm curious, this is cool, why have an association of Latino administrators and superintendents. We have AASA. I've talked to many African American and Latino superintendents through them, and I'm asking this. I already know the answer, but I wanted you to articulate it. Okay, why Latino administrators and superintendents? Why have they banded together in their own organization, which, by the way, now is what, 25 years old or even longer?
Actually, it's about 18 years ago is when, you know, we had a group of individuals who had the foresight to come together because they did attend conferences like with
sure.
AASA. But what they found, Larry, was
still do.
Yeah. And what they found was oftentimes, you know, you could count on a hand or two at the most the number of Latino superintendents in that conference. And so, you know, they looked around and they thought, wow, there's really not a whole lot of us. And you know, AASA and organizations of the like, they do a great job when it comes to, you know, the umbrella approach with issues across the public education spectrum and so forth. However, the group that were attending, they thought, you know, there are some nuances that they really wanted to be able to address as a group. And so they decided to start ALAS. And they created ALAS so that not just like or kinfolk could come together, but really so that they could become a voice, a united voice, to be able to bring to the forefront a lot of the issues that, you know, they didn't just happen overnight, but the issues that they saw were ones that needed attention. And you know how that goes, Larry. It's like, you know, what you pay attention to, attention shall be paid, right? And so they wanted to make
squeaky
sure
squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Well, and you know, and that's the thing. It's like we knew that we were coming up the ranks, if you will, as time went on. And so not only being that squeaky wheel, but being able to say, as we start to become that majority minority, that we have an organization that is really solely focused on issues that impact not only all children and marginalized children at that, but there are the migrant education kids. There are, and we all have students with, you know, students that face disabilities and have that area in which that we need to look at language development, and you know, there are a variety of different languages now that fall under the English language learner. So just being able to be that organization of expertise where other organizations could come and gain not only the knowledge that and the research that we've been able to conduct within our own right, but also from the experience and that lens of having come up the ranks through the educational system.
And, you know, what you guys bring to the party is the experience of the Latino or and also minority student, if I may. And that's one of the things I wanted you to get across, which you did so well. ALAS is there not for the superintendents and the administrators. It's to make it's to take their experience and make a better education system for all these kids. Okay. And make
you
that experience, if I may. Yeah. It's that simple. And it also, creates, and I have to say this, great role models like you. You, Maria, you're a role model. Congratulations. Okay. You're on a pedestal. And it's true. I mean, it's true. I'm sorry, my voice cracked there, but it's true. All right, your story, which I didn't know was what it was exactly, and you know what you said, and so many others like you, if I may, are shining examples to kids who may feel very marginalized. Okay, especially in this day and age. All right, and you know that's at the beginning. Yeah, and you know what you're doing now. But you said it was at the beginning. How are we doing in terms of getting Latino folks into school administration in whatever level or superintendents? How are we doing on that? And can you, if you can, contrast that against the population? I'm not even sure what the percentages of Latino students out there. Is it 50%? I don't even know.
Yeah, we're narrowing in on that 30% across the board. So across the U.S.
30% students.
And,
okay.
Yeah, that's what we're narrowing in on. And you know, the 50% though is that's how many out there. And that's what makes us now the majority minority. You know, as a race, as a people. But you know, to go back to, you know, how are we doing on that front of creating the leadership that we know we've had, and maybe we weren't the squeaky wheel, and now we have an opportunity because our organization is very, very. They have three areas of foci. That is leadership development, being able to share the information, just like you had mentioned. You know, everybody's got a story, right? But
yeah.
Being able to listen to the varied stories at the appropriate time to the correct audiences is really that networking piece that we're focused on as well. And then, of
mm-hmm.
course, the third leg of the stool is the political advocacy piece, because it's okay to have a story, but if we're not using that to be able to open up the doors and the gateways, even, if you will, to be able to allow other folks to come into the arena to be able to have a shot within the system, because we are the system, right? So if we're
yeah.
a part of the system, we need to be able to continuously change.
Mm.
And it's that political advocacy piece that really launches us to that forefront to be able to do the things that need to be done and continuous done. We're never going to get there. You know, oftentimes we think from A to B, how are we doing? Where are we going? All of that. We're really trying to create that mindset, and I think we have had that mindset all along, which is why you're starting to see the numbers come into fruition, and that is we continue to do what we've got to do. We don't forget that we're never going to get there. We just keep getting better
yeah.
at it, and so that's
yeah,
that political advocacy piece.
Yeah, and you probably will never get there, which is probably a good thing. Okay,
absolutely.
Because you never get there. So you're always striving to get there. It stops any inertia. You know, it stops the challenge. If you get lazy about it, you'll never get there. I think it's really, really good stuff. It really is. I have to ask you this though, and this is key: African American people and Latino people. I don't know across the country, but certainly on the East Coast, we're very susceptible. Okay, to COVID. More so than other groups. I can't explain that, but the truth, unfortunately. Okay. And as the executive director of ALAS, how did that affect what you guys have been doing this year, COVID, and in terms of Latinos?
Well, yeah. Well, and you know, to speak just a minute on that, you know, the reason for susceptibility too is because, you know, it's systemic. We people of color are it's not a secret. You know, you're going to be marginalized economically, and when you're marginalized economically, then what happens is you can't afford things. You know, you can't afford the health care. You can't afford to be proactive in being able to take care of yourself and your families. And so when you live paycheck to paycheck, you know, there's going to be things that are aced out. Trust me, I know, I've been there. You can only split that bean
yeah.
so many
yeah.
different ways, right? And so that's where it comes from. It's not because we carry a different gene. We are all of the human race. But what we do lack are those equitable systems that allow us to engage in the economic standing that other folks have. So from that point, you know, how we've, as an organization, have been dealing
mm-hmm.
with COVID is, I'll tell you, when March 13th came along, I had just gotten into the seat here at ALAS March 1st. And
yeah.
so when March 13th
oh my
came
Lord.
Along, we came into the first, stay-at-home order in California. I was supposed to fly out here, take the chair on March 15th. So we put that on pause. But I'll tell you, having been a superintendent, you really don't lose that superintendent hat. It went right back on. And the first thing I thought of was, wow, our suits are going to be inundated with well-wishers. You know, they're a well-meaning folk that want to come out and support and give you what you need. And there's always going to be that, you know, handful are going to want to take advantage of a situation and say they want to sell you what they think you need, all of that. And I just kept thinking, how do we provide support to our superintendents at this most critical time, not knowing where we were going to go. And so I reached out to what has now become a partner, but I reached out to an organization, Education Elements, and I said, hey, you know, I'm really impressed with the things that you're doing. Everything's on stay-at-home order, and it means virtual now. Well, I'm an old technology teacher. I utilize whatever is at hand. So I tapped into this resource, and I said, I need to provide a webinar and call on some colleagues. They're right now dealing with laptops and lunches. Yep. Superintendents have rolled up their sleeves and are literally handing these out. How do I get them back onto that 30,000-foot level so that they can communicate not only what's happening right now, but what do they foresee happening down the street and around the corner? Can you help me put together a webinar, something ALAS has never done before, right? Never had to. And so the CEO, Anthony Kim, he's like, let's do it. So within 2.5 weeks, we launched a webinar, and we had no idea, you know, who would attend or anything. But the reality was, everyone has always been talking about equity. I mean, we've championed this notion for our careers. And so Instead of saying another equity webinar, you know, I shared with Anthony, I said, we need to talk about what COVID has done. And what it's done is just expose the inequities that we already know existed. So that's how the title came about. And, you know, Larry, we had no idea, but we had over 1,500 people actually engage in this webinar. It was just incredible. And so, and that was on the kindness of five colleagues that I just reached out to and said, hey, would you all be willing to sit on a panel? People need to hear from you. Because, as you know, the communication piece is key. And so, especially when there was very little communication coming in or out of this situation.
Yep.
So that's one of the things that we did. And then we just kind of moved onward with that. And in this last, summit that I'm sure we'll get to talk about in a little bit,
we brought them
back so that we could take a 6-month look at this. But that's kind of the thing that, you know, you got to roll with it. And you can't blame, you know, to the left and the right of you, no pun intended, you know, where any kind of leadership is going to come out of. It's like, you know, leadership exists everywhere. So you've got to provide those leaders that opportunity to come out and start sharing in the communication of doing whatever people can do with what they have at the time. And that's just basically what we did.
It's pretty impressive, I got to tell you, and the way you got it together is just amazing. But the point is, you were not a superintendent then. You were about to take over your job as executive director on March 1st, right?
That's correct. Yeah, just
you just jumped in.
In Puerto Rico.
Another thing. Were you the commissioner of education in Puerto Rico for a while? What did you
do
there?
No.
What did you do there?
You know, I had just retired. I just retired from Woodland.
Yeah, retired.
Maria,
I don't know you that well, but I kept having trouble putting the word retired and Maria in the same sentence. I really am, but go ahead. Yeah.
Well, and you know, Hurricane Maria hit out in Puerto Rico, and so I had a mutual friend,
two Hurricane Marias hit. Two Hurricane Marias. One of the storm, and the next one was you. Okay, you're something. Go ahead.
But went out there right after the hurricane, and it was just an honor. An honor and a privilege to be able to work side by side with the incredible, resilient, and amazing people of Puerto Rico to help with what was going on. Yeah.
Yeah, it was brutal out there. I remember specifically the mayor of San Juan. Okay, that woman was just amazing. Okay, kind of a spokesperson. And I remember there was a challenge with the governor right then, and there was something going on with that. It was really amazing. And have you been there recently? Have you been back?
Actually,
boy, got stopped with the pandemic, But
yeah, actually, I was back there in February because, like I mentioned, A mutual friend is who brought me out there, and unfortunately, she passed away last February.
Oh.
So I did go back. I did go back this past February, but I haven't been back since. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, as I said, I forgot about
the pandemic. Yeah, we're all stuck where we kind of are. Wow, just something. You are a force to be reckoned with. I have that feeling. Okay, I've known you for 25 minutes, but I have a feeling you are the Hurricane Maria from now on. I have to tell you.
It takes an entire team. I'll tell you. You know, it's only because of the incredible relationship and people that I have just been graced and blessed to have in my circle. I'll tell you, that's the only reason. It's just people are amazing. They're just amazing.
Yeah, they do stand up. You mentioned this a minute ago. Talk about your National Education Summit, the ALAS National Education Summit that took place online. When was it? What happened? You know, that sort of thing. What were the high points?
Yeah, you know, we had, you know, done some research over the summer and you know, grappled with do we go on, do we take a pause, and you know, again, just we got to keep moving, because if anybody needs us at this time, it's the folks that are out in the field. And so we decided to go ahead and do an online summit, and I want to tell you, it was through partnerships again, being able to reach out to folks and say, hey, are you willing to do this? And we don't know what it's going to look like, but we're, you know, if you're willing, we're willing as well. And let's just run with it. So we did. And I'll tell you, it was a day and a half. We decided to truncate the amount of time, but to make it as robust.
Sure.
We had two superintendent panels. One was, like I had mentioned earlier, bringing back what we call the original five. And those original five superintendents came back to give us a look, you know, a peek into what has transpired since the last time we had brought them together. So we're talking 6 months later, right? And what they've been dealing with, what kinds of decisions that they've had to make, you know, how they've utilized their communities and so forth. And so that was an incredible panel to be able to listen to yet again, where they were coming from and what they've had to deal with. Some had opened up schools, some had not yet, those kinds of things. Then we also had an all-female superintendent panel from around, again, they're all from around the country. And you were from, you know, in the original five, we had our New York City Schools chancellor. We had a superintendent from Texas and from Chicago and from California, mm-hmm. and Washington. So they're from all over. So they have, you know, small districts, large districts, and they could speak to the nuances of what that entails as well.
Yeah.
And then the all-female superintendent panel, which they run into their own set of issues too, because, you know, the media and how do you work with the media, because we live in a time of sound bites, Larry. You know this.
Yes.
That's
tell
why
me,
having
tell
a,
me.
Having
yeah.
A, yeah, you know, it's a sound bite, and then they run with it. And you know, talk about truncating a message. It's like, let's just take this one, you know, piece and not put it in context, and let's just run with it, because it'll at least, you know, it's fodder for the next. So it's, you know, we are trying to be able to provide space and time for people to literally have a conversation in its entirety. And we recorded everything that we put out in this summit so that people could go back and listen to it, or better yet, watch it at their leisure, because we were able to offer 20 different types of breakout sessions that dealt with issues of equity, that dealt with issues of, you know, parents. What are parents going through? We opened up this summit before. It's always been basically for administrators, you know, to be a part of.
Right.
This time we said, nope, we're opening it up to parents, teachers, all the way up to school board members.
That's great.
And so that way, if we ever needed a table to come together and listen to one another, we kind of felt that this was the time to set that table for everyone to be able to share in a voice what they were going through. So we had breakout sessions that allowed for engagement. And then I got to share with you some of the highlights.
Please do.
We wanted not only to nourish, you know, the work, right? We have to learn from one another. We've got to communicate with one another about the work. But people have been working since this pandemic nonstop. There were no summer breaks. You know, there were people overlooked that. You know, they take the pot shots, but they really don't get, you know, into the arena with us at sometimes. And so we wanted to make sure that we were also nourishing the spirits of what these folks have gone through. So we made sure we brought in keynote speakers like Jaime Kasep. He is the global educational evangelist. You know, he's a former Google guy that really he basically whetted the appetite of everywhere. Well, we want to bring him back and hear more of what he does around the world. So he sparked that curiosity of the future in us. And then there's, you know, we had a brunch break in between this. Because we had the Eastern time and the Western and Central time, folks. And we wanted to make sure that even in that brunch break, we brought the granddaughter of the incomparable Pedro Infante, which is he's a huge Mexican phenomenon. And his granddaughter had just the day before we signed her to come up and be a part of us, she had just been a nominee for the Latin Grammys. So she got to sing a duet with our New York City Chancellor, Richard Carranza, as a brunch break. So it was just, you know, providing kind of spirit-lifting for them. But, you know, probably one of the greatest takeaways is for me personally, and it was confirmed by the folks that attended as well, was having John Leguizamo share his thoughts about
education. I love
John
Leguizamo. Yeah.
Oh, who doesn't?
He's a talented man.
He's amazing.
Yeah, the talented guy.
He's just from all various facets. I mean, he made his directorial debut, you know, with his latest movie.
Yeah, just recently.
So he was able to share his insights, you know, about critical thinking, which is, you know, just such an inspiration in a time when we need it. And then his own story. You know, we talk about, you know, the greatest thing is the moving story because everybody's got one. But his knowledge about the importance of voice and story, that was an inspiration that lifted everyone's spirits, no matter, you know, how hard they've been working. I'm a huge golfer fan, and I say fan because I love the game. I didn't say I was any good at it. But he just hit it straight down the fairway. He was just simply amazing. So, yeah, those are huge takeaways from the summit.
Right. It sounds like you had a wonderful time, and hopefully they'll be back to in person sometime. You know, although I'll tell you, Maria, I talk to all the associations, and I work with a lot of them. I'm going to talk to you about that. I'm going to give you a call after this, okay? But you know, a lot of them are having tremendous attendance at their virtual conferences, five times larger than what they would get if it was in person because there were no more air fees or hotel fees. Okay? It's that simple. Okay? It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay? So more and more people are getting involved. I wanted to ask you a question that I think is an interesting one. The Association of, let me use the word, Latino Administrators and Superintendents, but Latino. We're talking about people from Argentina. We're talking about people from Mexico. We're talking about people from Guatemala. Some of these cultures, many of them, are very, very different. A Uruguayan is very different from a Chilean, as an example. But tend to lump them together as Latinos, which is absurd, okay? Like everything we do is always absurd, okay? So explain to me, are we doing a disservice or – What do we need to know about this, what that word, Latino, when we talk about the many cultures that are within that word? That was a good question. I like that question. Go for it.
I love that question. And, you know, my knee-jerk response, because this is just what it is like I say this often. You know, we may have all been plumped into that same bucket, if you will, because it made it easy for certain folks. But you know what came, what for me has come out of it is, if as we, as an organization, as a people even, the more that we learn of each other's culture, because again, there, those are the nuances. We're all still Latinos. We are all very, very proud of our own culture's heritage stories, if you will. But the more that we engage with one another as a Latino population, especially now that we are the majority minority, we can show how various cultures within one bucket, if you will, how we play well in the sand, how we respect one another, how we don't take each other's, or we think one culture is better than the other. No, there's a whole a lot of beauty to go around. That's what I focus on. Those are the stories we want out and about so that people can learn from that. And the more that we know from one another, the better that we're going to be able to teach and learn from one another. That's the most important thing, I think, as a culture that's thrown all, you know, we're all lumped into that bucket together.
Yeah, you are lumped in, and you know, teachers need to understand that too. Okay, that lumping in is good in one sense, but it's not always good. We need to respect each culture individually. Yeah, it's really something. I wanted to ask you, and this is part of what you folks do at ALAS, is are you encouraging, and I believe you are, okay, more Latino folks to become educators, and certainly once they make that step, to become administrators and superintendents? How's the encouragement factor? How are we doing on that?
Yeah, you know, everyone talks about the diversity, if you will, right? That's the throwaway
term. There's
the
word.
But
but
the reality is, you know, there are very few Latinos in education, from the teachers all the way up. So if you're not doing a good job at the bottom of the pipeline, you're not going to have a very good output.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So what we encourage is, and what we're actually launching for next year, is we've been kicking around this notion for quite some time about aspiring, you know, our aspiring administrators. Well, basically means teachers aspiring to become administrators. Well, we're going to be launching the Principal Leadership Academy. It's a national Principal Leadership Academy.
Nice.
And the reason for this is because oftentimes, you know, you get tapped on the shoulder if you're one of those who are, you know, wanting to push the envelope a bit, to try to do things that are different, that are in the best interest of kids, and not getting tired about trying something in the best interest of kids. And as administrators, you tap somebody and you say, hey, you know, you should think about going into administration. And instead of relying on that one principal to tap you on the shoulder, what we're saying is, first, let's grab the ones that are already in the classroom that are putting in their time. And I'm not saying, you know, just because you're a Latino, come on, let's make you an administrator. Offer like what we would offer in any other profession. If you want to move up the chain, here's a program that may be of interest for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason why we're going to offer this Principal Leadership Academy is it's really predicated on the fact that I've had so many conversations and experiences as a high school principal, various schools, that, again, if you are not prepared for the media, as one, engaging with community, two, and the politics that surround anything that you climb up the chain, you may not have a good experience. That means that you may not want to one day become a superintendent, because the target gets larger, Larry. You know it, and I know it.
Yep.
There's not a line forming around the corner for people to become superintendents these days. So we've got to really prepare our folks for these positions of leadership so that they don't shy away, so that they don't shy away, and so that they can be those role models that you talked about. Again, what we do today, we will not see the impact, but our vision as an organization takes us beyond our A to B point or whoever's sitting in the chair. We are looking at generational change for what we know needs to happen, but we may never see.
It's so true. You are a wonderful guest. We got to go in a couple of minutes. I could listen to you for hours, but I will in the future. We're going to plan some more shows. I'm going to call you this afternoon, okay? I have your number here, so expect a call from me, okay? You're really something, Marie, I got to tell you. And I want to talk to you next time about encouraging more Latino youth, Latinx, whatever, to become educators. Okay, get them into the pipeline.
Beautiful.
And get them rolling. It's good stuff. You're going to hear from me, okay? Will you accept the call, young lady?
Absolutely, and it's been nothing but a pleasure.
From this end as well, Marie, it's great to know you and good to be back in touch with Alas. Okay, we'll talk soon, very soon this afternoon, so stay safe till then and long beyond, okay?
You too, and thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you a little later. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Dr. Maria Armstrong, everybody, who's the Executive Director of the Association of Latino Administrators and Superintendents. Hurricane Marie, I'm going to call her from now on. That's alasedu.org. And speaking of websites, join our consortium at ace-ed.org. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.